Welcome to the LVR Podcast, a podcast designed for Australian mortgage brokers made by brokers. We're here to help answer your questions with solid industry answers. Learning, validation, and respect. Now here's your hosts, Ruan Berger and Marissa Schultz.
Thank you all for joining the LVR Podcast. As always, very, very happy to share with you guys what we see in the market. And also thank you again for the opportunity to digest what we have at offer. So today we want to bring Darren Soule to you from Soule Recruitment. One of the things we have found just paying attention to the last 18 months with the LVR Podcast, one of the most listened podcast episodes was about recruitment. So clearly there is a question in the market in respect of how to recruit, what should you look out for, why would one recruit be better than another? So for us, we like to pull in people that can assist us. Darren, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, everybody. Love it. Lovely to be here.
Welcome, Darren.
My pleasure. Marissa, why don't you kick it off for us?
Yeah, so, I mean, recruitment's one of those really scary topics for many mortgage broking businesses, especially the smaller ones. And it's one of those things that people don't know where to start, they don't know what to look for, and maybe they've even been burnt with a bad experience. Maybe they've brought staff on and the staff haven't been quite the right fit. So I think that it'd be really great to lean on your expertise, Darren, as to when a business owner decides, I really need help, I need to get, you know, I want to build my team, I need to, you know, I want to grow the team, what do you think are some of the things that they need to consider at that very first stage when they think, okay, I really want to grow the team, I need some help in my business?
Sure.
From a, you know, recruitment or team building perspective, what do you think some of those first things that they need to think about is before they actually even start advertising or start looking for the right person?
Great question. And I might even take this right back and, you know, even from the experience of being a small business owner myself, I'm just a one-man show. I've run a recruitment business for the last 20-odd years and it's just basically me. Yeah. And, you know, I also would get scared about, oh my God, do I need to grow? How many people? How do I find people? What am I going to do? So I think the things for people to think about with building teams is, first of all, to really understand your business and your load and work out, do you really need somebody?
Mm.
Like, can you get somebody? Is there another way you can do it? Can you get some outsourced help?
Mm.
Can you get some freelance help? Can you get some people to do things?
Could technology do what you need it to do?
Good technology, automation. Yeah. Can you systemize what you do every day a bit better? Like, do you really need somebody?
Mm.
So that's the first thing to think about.
Great question.
You know, I think it's really important because a lot of the time we want to jump into, oh, I'm getting too busy, I need to hire somebody.
Yeah.
But hold on, maybe we don't. You know, so really think about that. Think about the technology that's in use these days to make things more efficient and to help us. But if you really do want to go to the next step and you want to start hiring people, then it's really about being extremely self-aware and being aware of where your business is at as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, like a lot of people would think, oh, great, let's hire someone. I want to hire a gun. I want to hire the best.
Yeah.
But if you're just a one-man or one-woman show, you might not be able to get the best because you're too small yet.
Yeah.
You know, you need to be attractive to hire those guns, those people that are the best in the industry. So what I would suggest is for people to really think about making their business, their brand, and their, we call it an EVP, your employee value proposition.
Mm.
You've got to make that as attractive and as strong and well-articulated as you can to attract the best people in the market. Because, you know, that's one of the biggest issues at the moment. It's a very candidate short market.
Yep.
And good people, very good people are hard to find.
Mm.
So everybody is fighting for the best people around. So if you don't position yourself as the best employer and you don't make sure your culture is in place properly, your management, your training, your onboarding processes are in place properly, it's going to be harder to attract the great people that you want to help grow your business. So it's really about thinking about where you're at, making sure your business is as attractive and well organized and, you know, well systemized to be able to take on the best people in the market, and then you go out and you find them.
So, Darren, that's just, I hope you don't mind. I'm going to put a spanner in the works because I would love your thoughts on this. But for a lot of our listeners, if they were that business that is just ready for the growth proposition, ready to go that next step, the whole issue with a lot of these things is they don't have the time nor have had the time to do it because they've got busy, they've writing loans and things. So they would have loved to have all those things already, and I think they would, but that's just, it's more time that they already don't have, which is why they're now contemplating, do I find someone to help me?
Yeah, look, I was listening to what you were saying, Darren, and I completely 100% agree with you in the sense that if you want to have the best chance of attracting the right people to your business, then you do really need to have an employer value proposition, just like you have a client value proposition to attract the right people. But I'm also hearing that anxiety through the, you know, through the phone of people that are listening to this podcast saying, oh, how am I going to do that? I'm just one person, or I'm just a couple of people and I don't even have time to, you know, go to the bathroom during the day. How am I supposed to develop a good, you know, team culture and a good employer value proposition? So what sort of advice would you give to those business owners that actually find that a bit overwhelming? Where could they start with that?
Yeah, great, great question. And it's a bit of like the cart before the horse before the cart. It's kind of, they go hand in hand. But the biggest thing to think about is to make sure that the mindset and the way that you approach the recruitment process and the conversations that you're going to have with your potential employees, if you approach them properly and you talk about the right things and talk about the roadmap even that you're going to put in place to make sure that these things are in place, then that's great as well. It's just people want to know that you're serious about doing things the right way, that they're going to flourish in your environment, they're going to be well looked after, they're going to be trained, they're going to have progression.
Yep.
Now, they might not see all of those things straight off the bat, but as long as they trust that you are the right person to help them move in that direction, then that's cool too. So it's all about how you communicate, and I think it's really about how your people, different people just harmonize with other people just by their mindset and the language that they use.
Yeah.
You know, so you just, it's no use going there and promising the world, but then you have, it's like, I don't want to say it's like politics, but you know, you want to make sure that you actually, these things are going to actually eventuate and they're going to come to fruition and it's going to be a partnership.
Absolutely.
You know, so there's no problem talking to someone and saying, you know, we haven't got all this stuff in place as yet. We're just starting on this, we're starting on that, but this is what we want to build and we're very serious about it.
Yeah.
And then you're going to help us do that. So that's cool.
Are you interested to be part of that journey?
Yeah, come on the journey with us.
Yeah. And I think having that approach of honesty up front and, you know, transparency, honesty and transparency up front with future employees definitely goes a long way. So I think that's a really, really great suggestion. So hopefully for those that are listening, that has taken away a little bit of the anxiety around that, because the truth is that you can get good staff regardless of where you're at and what stage of the journey you're at, if you're willing to, you know, look after them. And I found early on in building my team that one thing that I found really helpful as a business owner was to change my, shift my mindset from an employee being someone that works for me to an employee actually being my most important customer.
Absolutely. You know, people say treat your employees better than you treat your customers.
You have to treat your employees better than you treat your customers, because they are your most important customer in my mind. They're your most important client. They're the people that need to be really happy, and if they're really happy, then your clients in turn will be treated really well and they will be really happy too. So I think when you can make that mindset shift, it does go a long way to actually building the foundation of a workplace that can be really quite lovely for your team and helping you to create that culture without really even trying that hard.
Definitely. If I can just jump in, kind of take it right back to that initial question, is that, you know, you might not be the biggest company with all these systems in place, but if you are an authentic, honourable person, you will mesh with the right person that's going to work with you, and you can both build and a great company and go on a great journey together.
Yeah.
So it's really just how you come across as a person, as a business owner,
yes,
not just about what you've got in place or what systems or what technology, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
What's your mindset like? What are your thoughts towards training? What are your thoughts towards profit sharing? What are your thoughts towards salaries increases and bonuses, et cetera, et cetera?
You know, I like that. That's something that I think and I can't speak for every business, but I do believe it would be something that isn't talked about too much. There's a big focus on this is your income package. There isn't a focus on, this is how we pay. If you want to pay, be paid more. I mean, I look at the companies that I do a lot of coaching with, and we talk about career propositions. So we talk about in your career, if you want to be in this role, this is what you could get paid. If you wanted to be paid more, you need to take on the income producing proposition, which is this particular one. So this is how it works. But I think the point you just made there, I think, is a very, very good one, especially for people starting out, and whether it's the first or the second or your third staff member that you're looking to recruit, is you've got to ask these questions. I think in recruitment, we're so comfortable sometimes to talk about what we have at offer, not enough about what would they like, to be offered.
Yes.
My previous company, I had a staff member coming in for less money, but wanting to know that if he achieved that, he has the ability to grow quicker and respect off his income streams. So he was willing to back himself almost. But that was, he's one of a few that would go about it that way, that will back himself per se.
Mm.
And I think to your point now, what you've just done with this last part, when you said take it back, you ask a lot of questions there, and I'm assuming that is just that recruitment mentality for you as a recruiter, that for you it is a lot about the questions to try and make sure that the person you bring to the employer, there's a bit, I'm assuming for you it's questioning both ends.
Mm.
100%. I mean, and it's about, are you looking for an employee to just fill a function, or are you looking for a partner? Are you looking for someone that's going to be with you forever? It's, that mentality can be a very different shift.
Yeah.
And you don't have to actually make them a partner, but you have to treat them like a partner.
Well, especially if that's an offer, if that is something, because people usually don't leave an employer because now and then it would be their own drive, it would be their own aspirations. But a lot of times it would be because, one, they thought what they were going to get, they didn't get. Two, they're not happy because they're not growing as much as they maybe want to grow. Three, the workplace was maybe not the best to work at. But when people sit in front of you, and again, this is something just for owners from my point of view, you got to ask better questions, because sometimes what they say to you, if they say, I didn't like working for this employer because they did this and they did that, you got to pay attention to those things, because tomorrow are you that employer? Are you just babysitting a real problem that now suddenly makes you think that recruitment is such a bad word, when it wasn't the recruitment, it's just you're not paying attention to what has been said.
Mm.
Absolutely. I always say in recruitment, it's sometimes not what is being said, but it's what's not being said that's even more powerful.
And I think we just hit a really important point, is that as business owners, we assume that we know what a potential employee is going to want and going to value.
Mm.
But the truth is that we don't, because everybody values different things.
Agree.
So don't assume that because you can't pay the most that you won't be able to attract someone good, or because you don't have the latest technology that you won't be able to attract someone good. It's really attracting the right person that is going to really hugely value what you can offer.
100%. And you'd rather not have to sift through and interview loads and loads of people that aren't going to be right for you in the first place.
Exactly.
You'd rather play with a small pool but get the right people. So it's really just about knowing what you want.
Mm.
So I'm going to be a bit selfish here, and I'm going to ask a question.
Yeah.
And this is, make me out to be the owner. I think a lot of times, we do get influenced by the noises out there in the workplace, and, whether that is what people say, you've got to make sure that you understand the person sitting in front of you, all these things. But I also think we've got to be very conscious and cautious about selling us short, when we have to, we're in this position today because of certain support we need. So we got to be really, really clear about what we need too.
Yes. Yep,
so that's why I just thought I'll put it out there, because I think it's all good to know. We've got to be it's so important about how you make the staff member feel, and how this, the staff member being that client, almost as good as a client. But I think as a business, at the end of the day, you can't pay staff if you don't have the support to get money in the first place. So we sometimes got to look truly and understand. You know what, Darren, you made this point earlier, and I'll just reference back to it. You said you got to almost understand yourself. You got to know who you are, what you need, so that you can give to someone else because of knowing what you have to give.
Exactly. Yep, I totally agree. And again, you know, you're going to sit down and you're going to have a very honest conversation.
With yourself almost first.
With yourself,
yeah.
Absolutely, with yourself first, and also with the potential employer to let them know what the expectations are going to be. But you'll say, but this is what I'll offer in return. Like, it's a two-way street, not just one way.
Yeah. It's a two-way street. Yeah. That's so important. So once a business owner has been able to articulate, you know, what it is they need and has been able to, you know, decide or look at all the options and then determine, no, I do want to hire a staff.
Yep.
And they've been able to just work out, okay, well, what can I offer this employee? They're all set to go. They understand what they need. They understand what they can offer. What's the next step in terms of attracting the right person to their business?
Gotcha. Well, I mean, then you can go about it a few different ways. You know, obviously a great way to find good people is to get referrals from other people. You know, that's still a fantastic way. And everybody, mm-hmm. you know, in your industry will know a lot of great people, you know, that'll be quite relevant to your industry. So I would say first route would just be asking around and finding out, you know, using social media platforms and channels, using whatever channels you have to communicate to see if you can find somebody or attract somebody through connections.
Yep.
And then if that doesn't work, then you can obviously go down the route of either partnering with a recruitment agency that you trust, or you can try and place ads and do it yourself, you know, again, and that takes time. So it really just depends on which way you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly, like, using your connections up front is a very powerful way. But then when it comes down to working on your own, on the cold face to try and recruit, you either partner with a fantastic agency that has some experience, that has some a good reputation, possibly in your area, and you have a good chat and you work out how you can work together, or you can go about it doing yourself. But again, that's just going to take a bit of time and it might be a bit of trial and error, because a recruitment agent is going to be much more experienced in how to deal with a lot of these issues that come up in the process, how to ask the right questions, how to negotiate properly, how to close, how to influence, whereas, you know, we do this every day, all day long. So there's a few different options, really.
And if someone does want to do it by themselves and they do want to sort of advertise and give it a go,
yeah.
Where should they be advertising? Is it mainly just Seek, or are there other places that you think that they must really advertise as well?
Yeah, I would say the first and foremost is, just like if I put my marketing hat on, you got to know where your audience is going to live. So if you think that that candidate that you're looking for is going to live on Seek, then that's a great place to be. If you think that candidate might be, you might find that candidate better in an industry forum website or in some kind of magazine,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, some other directory, then that's where you're going to be. If you think they might be better on LinkedIn, then that's where you're going to be. Or you can do a combination of a few of these things. So there's no one place to find people, but it's just about thinking about where that person is going to come from and then using the right channels to find those people.
So in your experience, Darren, with our industry in mortgage broking, if someone is looking for a support, an administrative support person, whether that be with credit analyst skills or basic administration, where would you say the best place to advertise would be?
Yeah, well, I mean, from an ad point of view, I'd probably say Seek or LinkedIn would be great.
Mm-hmm.
But then I would definitely explore possibly any of your forums or magazines, or, you know, it might not be magazines, physical magazines, it might be web-based stuff nowadays. But I wouldn't exclude your network, because your network is so powerful.
Yes.
You know, you might go to a conference, talk to a few people on your table, and each person might know five great people that might be looking for work.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So they're sitting right in front of you.
Yeah.
So, you know, I wouldn't exclude talking to people in your industry, because they're there. Networking, the power of networking is very strong, but, you know, people in your industry are really going to know people that are better suited because they understand your industry.
Well, Darren, I can share with you already just out of my experience the last 2 years, and something we used to do is in both businesses that I had previously, we do database recruitment. So we build a database recruitment model that just goes through MailChimp, but it goes to your whole database. And most of the companies that I coach have now recruited via database.
Are you meaning their client database, Ruan?
Yeah, their client database.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they've sent it out because my opinion was always you're never going to compete on recruiting on your own client database. I mean, it's your clients for starters.
Yeah, that's right.
And
absolutely.
Secondly, what it has done for the leaders in these businesses, and Marissa, this is a bit of something I didn't see coming, but it's almost got them present. It's got them, I've got now one where one of the companies is just recruiting. The person we're looking to recruit has not even come from the database. It's one of her last client appointments. That the conversation started through the fact find.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Because I go to, another one for you, Dan. And she goes, no, this one was just purely because I've met up with one of my clients and we sat with the fact find and I saw what she's doing and just said, would you be interested? And she sent me a cover letter.
Yeah.
And the cover letter was quite impressive.
That's amazing. We've had a similar experience where a lot of our team has actually come from our client base.
Yep, absolutely.
People that we actually just enjoyed working with as clients that we then offered jobs to. So I think there is, you know, the advantage that they already know your business and they already know how you work and how you operate is a huge advantage, I think. So, yeah, don't underestimate that.
Also, you know, I always like to say you don't always have to find someone that is exactly what you think, you know, in terms of the profile that that's going to be the right fit. Don't exclude people that are slightly from a different area, from a different industry, from a different function, because they might be fantastic employees as well. Be very open-minded in how you think about finding the right people for your team.
Absolutely.
So, Darren, you with recruitment, I'm assuming it's a little bit like people come and they'll see you and then you won't hear from them for a long time because you may have found them a suitable candidate, and so things goes on. And I just, for me, it's a bit of a myth in the market per se, because I've always looked at recruitment as lead flow. You should be consciously and constantly looking at it, and the opportunity for employment is deal flow. That is where, you know, you've got that relationship now is already changing. You've got to keep them happy. You need to make sure they know your expectations. You need to make sure you meet their expectations. But that recruitment for me in respect of a lead flow proposition is almost you should never stop looking, because every time you want that right person isn't there. Every time you don't want the right person is there.
Definitely. And I would say it's exactly that from both sides, because as a recruiter, you have to build relationships with all your potential candidates, but you've also got to build relationships with all your clients.
Yeah.
And I think these days, because candidate market is very short, you know, there is short supply, as you mentioned, it does take a bit of time to find the right person.
Mm.
So you've got to be very proactive in how you're constantly talking to candidates, but you've also got to be extremely proactive in maintaining relationships with your clients, and then you match them together.
Mm.
Yeah. No, I really, really love it.
That's great. Well, we have run out of time. I feel like we could talk forever on this topic, Darren. There's so much for us to learn, but I feel like there's been quite a few golden nuggets through that. So thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us today, Darren. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Darren. Really appreciate it.
And we hope that you listening have enjoyed the episode and have got some value out of it. Please feel free to share it with your friends and colleagues. We'd love them to benefit from the session too.
Agreed.
And if there's any other topics that you'd like to hear from on the LVR podcast, please send them through so that we can include them in future segments. Once again, thanks, Darren.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Ruan.
Thank you.
And thank you to all of you for listening. We'll see you again next time.
Cheers, all.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the LVR podcast. We hope you gained massive value from today's episode. And we'd like to thank our sponsor, Success & Broker, and The Broker Journal, driving broker routines and behaviours for better client outcomes. If you found this podcast helpful, please subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. And we'd appreciate if you gave us a 5-star review. That way, it'll help others who would value this content too. We'll join you in the next episode.